Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. Well, we got the news. We got all balls and all sports coming up as well, so stay tuned to that. Also, another idea that I find interesting that I don't think the room found interesting either, but again, you guys can listen and decide for yourself. First, I'll tell you about LifeLock. Since the start of the pandemic, there's been a 300% increase in cybercrime. Hackers are getting more sophisticated, taking advantage of teleconferencing accounts. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives. Every day, we put our information at risk on the internet. Cybercriminals keep finding new ways to steal identities. You could miss certain threats by just monitoring your credit alone. That's why you need LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information, they'll send you an alert. Protect yourself with LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one prevents all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web. Get your free dark web scan at LifeLock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you and save up to 25% off your first year with promo code Adam. That's a free scan at LifeLock.com/scan and 25% off with promo code Adam.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
What do you guys think about this? I just wrote it down because it was something that popped into my head. What do you guys think about this strategy or what this would mean or do or how impactful this would be? What do you think? What if Trump said, there's, a month and a half to the election or, 45 days or whatever it is. I'm going to drop 30 pounds. That's my commitment.
Okay.
I want to be more disciplined. I want to be healthier. I want to be in better shape. I'm going to drop a few pounds. Like, I want to look better. I'm going to feel better. Like, if he just did it. If he just said, like, if somebody said to him, like it's that kind of thing where it's like, look, this is close. This is the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. We got another, can you not eat McDonald's for 45 days? Can you go, here's a diet. You know, can you just, for 7 weeks, can you do this thing? And in a world where we're always like kind of talking about policies, you know, and this or that, you know, we do a lot of stuff where it's like, that guy, that's racist or that policy's hurting the poor. That's whatever. What if you just went, I'm committing to losing weight. What do you think that would do? And how do you think it would be perceived?
Okay. I'll answer your question because I know what you're getting at, but then I'll add on to that. I think it'd be worth 1 or 2 points. I think there are parts of the country that are less impressed by physical fitness, let's just say. So maybe it's worth a couple points. I don't think it'll turn things around. That said, the flaw with this is that would require Trump admitting something's wrong. some things. He needs to lose weight. He's overweight or he's obese. His fucking medical evaluation came in at like 229 pounds. You think he's going to go down to 199? It's fucking absurd. The guy weighs 300 pounds. So he'd have to, first of all, establish something's wrong. He lied, and then I got to lose 30 pounds.
Well, he just go, I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to lose weight. I mean, he doesn't have to really, like, get into the... I mean, everyone...
I thought you had a specific number in mind.
No. Just going, I'm going to drop 30 pounds in 45 days. And when you say good for a few points, that's what I'm talking about. Just a couple of points. You know what I'm saying?
That's my hunch.
Well, a couple of points. The race could be a couple of points. That's what I'm saying. Sure. Hey, you're running against a guy who's fit. You're not. Hey, what? Just the aesthetic. You know what I mean? Just in a world where you're going to stand across the debate stage with this guy, don't you want to look a little more fit? Like, what would it do? He's never going to do it. But I'm saying, if I was like an advisor, like if somebody asked me, if I was one of those people, this would be something that I would weave in. It'd be something I'd have an opinion about. It would mean something.
Show him some data like, oh, this would play well with suburban white women.
Well, I mean, just in general, in a world where you show kids a kind of a chubby guy and you show kids kind of a fit guy and you go, which one would you want to be your airplane captain? Mm-hmm. They all just kind of point at the fit guy. Like, mm-hmm. How could it hurt? I mean, obviously it couldn't hurt. It's a bizarre notion. It's the kind of notions I have.
Can I give you the headline from, I don't know, I'll just pick one, maybe the Washington Post.
Trump gets AIDS.
Okay, the next day. Yeah, honestly, it's funny because the first thing I thought was everyone's going to think he's sick. But the second post would be, Trump focuses on narcissistic diet while country burns.
Yeah, I just mean like if you just went, you know, I just like to have a little more energy. A little more stamina and look a little better in my underpants. So that's what I'm doing. I think a lot of people go, well, I hate that guy, but I don't disagree with that that notion. And then if you got down, like if you really like, let's just say you're really serious about it. Let's just say like you have as the president, obviously everything's at your disposal. Like, let's just say you want full bridal, you know, bride, you know, the wedding. The wedding is November 4th. I want to see what I can do by then. I'm just going to do everything. I mean, I'll sit in a hyperbaric chamber. I will, like, you can do whatever you want. You just want, this is it. This is it. Like, no ice cream, no sticky buns, just boom. And then... as soon as the election's over, we're going to Golden Corral. we're going to bring a Golden Corral and put it in the basement where the basketball court was.
They'll have that picture surrounded by hamburgers for a couple of years.
Right. And I just think people be like, well, he seems serious about this thing. Or it doesn't. I'm just saying it was just a weird thought. And I just made a note. And it's one of those things that everyone would just sort of. Everyone would laugh it off if you ever brought it up, but I'm quite serious. I'm like, this thing's close. It could be a couple of points, and this could be a couple of points. I don't know. All right,
Gina, what do you think? Does it move the needle?
For me?
No. Do you think that's worth anything?
I'm still trying to figure out the hypothetical. Well, that's the thing. I'm still trying to figure out with Adam, what does it mean for you? What would it indicate to you? What would it be telling?
What is anybody losing weight like saying, hey, I'm going to get serious about my health. I want to be a better dad or better president or whatever. Like, what does that mean to you?
Okay, focus, determination, commitment.
Yeah. I mean, again, I think that the people who support him would go, look at him. He can do anything. The people that hate him would be like, excuse me, this is what you're spending your time with. Like, I just don't know anything anymore. I'm
moving
so
on. But
thank you.
But there's a
this
couple
is not your show today.
No, there's a couple. I'm saying we're only looking for 2% of the people that could be impressed. Not the MAGA hats and not the never Trumpers. I'm looking for a couple of points, looking for a couple tenths of a second on my lap time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
People that are actually impressed with a little of that go get it that you can actually see. Yeah.
I think everyone responds to it. The question is what percentage would it push one way or the other? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's
let's find out. You're going to talk to him.
Yeah, propose this.
I'll propose it. All right. What do we got, Gina Grad?
So you guys at least know of the fact that there was this mega hit docuseries on Netflix a while back called Cheer. And everybody loves the cast of Cheer. It was the real docuseries of this tiny little school, the Navarro cheer team in some little teeny tiny part of Texas. And they all became megastars. We watched them train for their big cheerleading championship.
What year?
This was this year.
I remember it being
the coach
on Netflix.
Yeah, the coach is now on Dancing with the Stars. That's why I thought she'd have a good shot. Mm-hmm. And then all these people became kind of like little micro celebrities. The breakout star was this adorable, at least at the time, adorable boy named Jerry Harris. And just kind of like a chubby, high-spirited, nice boy with a sad backstory about his mom. And everybody loves Jerry. Oh, you know, he met Oprah at her tour. And everybody, if you say, who do you remember from Cheer? It's Jerry, the adorable, cherubic.
Well, just get to the part where he stabbed a drifter.
Well, that's Jerry. Jerry has been arrested on suspicion of producing child pornography, according to the U.S.
Wow.
Attorney's Office.
I bet his attorney wishes he stabbed a drifter at this point.
Harris's arrest came after an FBI agent searched his home in Naperville, in Illinois, on Monday. He was a fan favorite on Cheer. I told you. Big deal. Everybody loves Jerry.
How old is he?
He's probably like 20. I mean, he was in college. Maybe, I don't know, 23 or something.
21.
Okay.
21 now?
Yeah, he's born in 99.
So when did he
I'll tell you.
Do the kiddie porn?
Well, here's the thing. So Netflix, this guy, Jerry, said that he's being accused of soliciting sex, sending sexually explicit messages, asking for nude pictures from two 14-year-old twins at like a cheer camp thing.
Well, it's 28 combined.
It's true.
That's right. The two boys spoke with USA Today.
Bigger in Texas.
Right.
And said they were harassed by Harris at cheer competitions since they were 13. He was 19. He's facing one charge of production of child porn because, you know, he was asking them for nudes and booty pics and is expected to appear in federal court in Chicago this week. One of the accusations was he cornered one of them in a bathroom and like begged him for oral sex. And maybe you didn't know how they were, but they're 13 and 14 year olds.
Well, I didn't watch the show, so I don't have a lot to contrast it to. I've been kind of off of Netflix, and I'm not even sure why. Just haven't caught up on Netflix in a while.
Well, Netflix.
You upset about cuties?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say. Netflix indirectly taking a lot of heat right now in the child porn genre. Brian, have you watched it?
I saw Cuties. Adam, are you aware of this controversy?
I'm aware of the controversy, but I also heard a breakdown of it that offered some light in the other direction.
I'm curious where you're, like on NPR or something?
Well, let me just say what
Ben Shapiro, actually.
Oh. It's a French movie that won critical acclaim, and it's not, a lot of people thought it was like Toddlers and Tiaras. It's not, it's a movie. It's a French movie about young girls. Go ahead, Brian.
No, I wanted to approach Chris about doing a Bollywood on it. I didn't know how much general interest there was. I mean, I know it's making the rounds for controversial reasons. I have so many fucking thoughts on this. First of all, it's a very good movie. I don't know what Ben said. I imagine we're probably sort of on the same lines. It's a very good movie. The controversy is absurd. I assume it's over the marketing of it. But the movie itself, everything is in context. Everything makes sense. And it's about this Senegalese girl, this girl from Senegal, who comes and tries. It's basically Mean Girls set in France. And like she falls in with this dance troupe. And, you know, there's no dad in the house. So she's like, you know, kind of on her own devices. And she she starts to, you know, literally on her devices, starts to watch these, you know, booty videos and hip hop videos and starts to emulate them as any, you know, fatherless 11-year-old girl might. It's outrageous that as conservatives, anyone would have a problem with this. This sends a very positive message about dads in the house, about culture and assimilation. I mean, this is a very good movie.
Well, this is sort of the interesting part about like a Ben Shapiro, who's a very conservative religious guy. That's the point he made.
Oh,
so
you
thought it was an NPR point, but it's a Ben Shapiro point, which is...
Yeah, I didn't know what his take would be. But I know that a lot of conservatives have a problem with it. I didn't know what his take would be.
No, I don't know. First off, I felt like everyone had a problem with it because I was a big, like, this is an outrage.
Yes, everyone,
and he basically said they picked the wrong poster. But other than that, the message, the message was all there. If you look at the message,
the marketing is problematic, but the movie has a message we can all get behind, which is fatherless homes will produce unwanted results.
Yeah. And then also, I guess the father was going off with his mistress or his second wife or whatever that
still
was.
Back in Senegal and was going to be polygamous.
Right.
He was going to marry another woman.
Look, this is how our world works. We look at a movie poster. Everyone's outraged. Then we label it something that it's not, you know, kiddie porn. And the reality is the real message is quite the opposite. Like this is basically in the last 5 years of my life. It's like when Matt Damon says, well, don't conflate what Harvey Weinstein did with what Al Franken did. And then everybody starts screaming, shut up. He doesn't know it. It's like, no, that's a perfect point. That's a very sober, sensible thing. Oh, just shut up, Matt Damon. Like, no, he's making a very good point. There's a lot of that going on right now. People are like making points. This movie evidently is making a very sensible point, and everyone's just yelling, just shut up.
Yes, and I'm going to probably sound blowharded here, but fuck everyone. You cannot have an opinion on this movie if you have not seen it. If you're only aware of the marketing and the poster, fuck yourself. See the movie. Then we can have a conversation. I'd love to talk to Ben Shapiro about this movie. We probably have a lot of agreement on it.
Well, I'm going to see him in a half an hour, so I'll ask him.
Right.
But that's what I saw. I heard all the outrage. I heard the cancel cuties and Netflix and blah, blah, blah. I saw the poster, and I didn't say anything about it because I hadn't seen the movie. I didn't really particularly want to see the movie once I kind of saw the poster. But then I heard Ben break down the game film, and I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense. Now I understand what this is. And by the way, everyone listening needs to understand this. Oh, it's 90 minutes of kiddie porn. Well, you think that's how Netflix works? We like to see 11-year-olds shaking their moneymakers with no plot line and no message. So here's $1 million.
Information, and maybe Ben got into this, maybe he didn't. It's written and directed by feature debut Mayamouna Doukouré, and I'm mangling the name. She is a Senegalese woman who is French. She obviously wrote this from a point of view that she's seen in the world. I doubt very much she is interested in any way in producing child porn.
Yeah,
brought that parts of that up as well. So, yes, there's always an answer. It's rarely Netflix just wants to go out of business.
They're branching out to child pornography.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
You have to really think about what the headlines are. Like, Netflix is running child pornography. It's like, really? Think that's a corporate notion?
Think
that came up
That
came up at a shareholders meeting? We need more underage pornography.
Like, I know it's bold, but hear me out.
Yes. So whenever you hear the headline, go scratching around a little bit, everyone, would you please?
All right. See the movie. You might really like it.
See the movie. That's right. Let me hit Geico. That's right. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% off of credit on cars and motorcycle and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you if you were, in fact, going with Geico. There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. That is geico.com. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right, well, Kanye West Lots going on with this guy lately. He's been banned from Twitter for 12 hours for doxing a very important person. He posted private information and encouraged people to get a hold of the editor of Forbes. And I did a little digging because I could not figure out the connection here. According to Twitter, the tweet was removed for posting private information and the account has been temporarily locked in accordance with our private information policy. So I thought, why the editor of Forbes?
What, he's lucky he didn't get banned for that. You can't do that shit.
Well, and he wrote, by the way, the headline was, "If any of my fans want to call a white supremacist, this is the editor of Forbes," and included his number. So basically what I could find about what the skirmish and the scuttlebutt here is after much campaigning from Kanye, Forbes finally recognized him as a billionaire back in April. But with the headline, "Kanye West is now officially a billionaire and he really wants you to know." Mm. Kanye then texted this guy and said, "You know, by the way, it's not a billion. It's 3.3 billion. If any of you knew how to count." So now for some reason that happened in April. But now there's must be some connection there. The other tweet that's getting a couple of views from Kanye, and we have it for you, Adam. I thought you'd particularly appreciate this. This happened on Wednesday. He included his little gramophone.
Yeah, I don't want to correct you. That's Taylor. That's Taylor Swift's Grammy. He's peeing on her Grammy. I don't know if you guys know that.
And I know it's no wallet, but I thought you would like to see him peeing on a Grammy.
Well, who knows how many takes it took him, but go ahead.
That's right. He also has been pleading for Drake and Taylor Swift to retweet him, his posts highlighting unfair terms in the music industry. And he's really lashing out right now. So Twitter asked him to take a breather.
He has to be like taken somewhere in Malibu for a period of time and just.
Well, didn't he already go to wherever they have horses and shit?
Yeah, but I don't think you can hang out in Montana with Dave Chappelle for 4 days and cure whatever addiction or hypomania or manic, whatever you're going through.
Yeah.
I mean, as great as Dave Chappelle is, I just don't feel like he's a board certified clinician. I think he just smokes cigarettes and tells you jokes, you know?
Well, and that's the thing, because Kim Kardashian already said, you know, with the last season of Keeping Up the Kardashians coming up, it will not be following the journey of Kanye's mental health status, which I think is what most people would be interested in.
Well, obviously, there's something going on. Some medication needs to be adjusted or consumed altogether. There's something going on. Like, I mean, thing is like people do drunken tweets and people get into battles and arguments and there's everything. There's all the above. But this is a chemical based sort of prolonged snapping that's happening. We're just sort of a witness to it.
Right.
But this is something that's going on. Yes.
Yeah.
And Kim Kardashian is kind of reimagining herself as a literal social justice warrior, you know, springing guys from jail and talking to the president about commuting sentences and shit like that. If she wanted to do some actual good with that Fakakta TV show, this season would be about Kanye West and battling mental illness and what that really looks like. Instead, it's going to be about fucking shoes and God knows what. But if she wanted some real good, shine a light on this.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, it's funny because they'd be like, we have to respect his privacy, but he's filming himself pissing and then putting it on the internet. So he's not respecting his own privacy.
And he's certainly not respecting the privacy of the editor Forbes.
Right. So it's got to be funny. I wonder how many Grammys he has. I don't know.
For producing, probably a few.
Yeah, between performing
at some point, you got to pull that thing out of the toilet and dip it in some clear, right? Some CRL.
Put the pool.
I don't know. Look, evidently he needs help. Evidently he's, you know, bipolar. He's having these episodes, these manic episodes, and things need to be adjusted and he needs to go somewhere for a little while. 21 Grammys, tied with Jay-Z.
But what's the last thing in the world somebody who's manic wants to be told?
Yeah.
You need help.
Breakfast has stopped being served at 11.
Right.
That between being a billionaire, how do you get him to do shit?
No, well, now you're getting into like 51-50, or we're laughing about 52-50, which exists.
Take yourself, right?
As well. No, 5250, I think Chris has to look this up. That's just, instead of 72 hours, you got a week or whatever it is. It sounds like a punchline. Like, this guy's so nutty, he's been 5250.
Steve-O said that.
Right, but it's a 14-day hold. Like, right.
I'd
be like a Kanye. You like World War II bombers? And you go, yes, I do. And then I go, you bead 52'd. And then I'd laugh real hard, and a guy would drop out of a tree with a net. And that's where he would be.
That's real good.
All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, Simply Safe. Just 15 seconds for our good friends at Simply Safe. And you need a little home security. Might I suggest Simply Safe. Protect your home and get free shipping. Two eyes in there. SimplySafe.com/Adam. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do the sports with Jeff Cesario right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Well, let's dive right in. The Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey did a photo shoot for GQ that is a whole different kind of fantasy football. McCaffrey's spread looks like he's trying to figure out what outfit to wear to an Andy Cohen party. It's wild.
There he is.
You know who just picked up Yeah.
He's in his underwear.
We're talking about Serena Williams built like a brick shit house. Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, he is. He is, but he's also short-ish. So he has that compact, muscle look on him. But yeah, he's in great shape.
Yeah, Billy Eichner just picked him for his fantasy football team. Come on, everybody. It's pretty. Do we have the robe one too? Which at one point Gary suggested maybe the least sexual, and yet then you see it and you go, my goodness. He's got to be.
Is this working for you, Gina?
I don't know who this is, and I thought he was a model. Well,
he went to Stanford educated?
Really?
Yeah.
Is he going to be the next Bachelor or something?
No, he's a professional football
running
player.
Back for Carolina Panthers.
Right.
Apparently, you didn't even hear the intro. Boy, you tune out at the top.
That's what I'm saying, though. I mean, would they pick someone like him to star in The Bachelor?
I don't think he'd do. He's married to a gorgeous model. Her name is Olivia Culpo.
Oh, she's hot.
She is hot. They've been married a little over a year. This is his fourth year in the league, and he's a stud. He's top five running back all the time. He's got to be secure because next time he gets stuffed on a third and two, Vontaze Burfict or someone's just going to go, hey, nice neckerchief. he's going to catch some flack on this. But talk about all balls. That takes some.
Yeah, he's in fantastic shape. Of course, his dad played in the league. Denver Bronco wide receiver, as I believe.
Ed McCaffrey.
We don't have to look at it, but did have a very bad compound fracture accident that I've told you guys about in the past. Joe Theismann is probably the most famous. There's a couple. Ed Crumry. I think it was Ed Crumry.
Tim Crumry
had one. But McCaffrey had, his dad had one too, had a very sort of graphic breakage. Don't want to see it, Max Bata, but
neither
just
do I.
Take my word for it.
I believe you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite the photo spread this was. It's more X-ray oriented.
Yes, not X-ray, right.
So it's in this month's GQ, if anybody is so moved. Go check it out, but take some serious balls to do that photo shoot.
What are we doing with GQ and these kinds of magazines these days? Like, all the men's magazines are not around anymore, or are they? I'm not talking about Playboy and Penthouse. I mean, remember all those 90s?
Like Jugs.
Cracked.
Maxim and stuff.
No, Maxim. Yeah. Yeah, there'll always be a place for jugs, but Maxim and all those things. There are all those magazines. I was like, dude, magazines. Yeah. Like, it was like,
right.
It was like a photo spread with Nikki Cox. And then behind it was one. You want to build your own bong with PVC pipe? And then there was a whole instructional thing for that. And
yeah.
Are those around? I feel like that was a different sort of simpler time, right?
Yeah, I think they all became websites and then they all left. FHM was another one.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they've all gone the way of Ed McCaffrey's lower leg. I think they're gone.
Right. Yes.
They're shot.
Yep.
Shall we continue? The Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics in game one in overtime and no one cares. Call us when you hit game seven. NFL, different kind of running back photo shoot here. Dallas running back Zeke Elliott, Ace, you probably saw this during the game. He scored a TD against the Rams. Then he kind of lifted his jersey to show a belly tattoo of his trademark feed me move, like he's spooning cereal out of a bowl or something. And he's tattooed it now, complete with the spoon.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he said about the tattoo, I'm not going to lie, it was painful.
Now, what are you going to do? You have to put giant tattoos on your belly. So,
yeah. I mean, you're in the league.
Obviously, it's going to be comical when he's been out of the league for 11 years and he's ballooned up to 315 pounds to have that laying around the apartment. You know, like it's going to be ironic for a while. In a while, I should say.
Feed me.
He keeps adding to his nose earrings, and I am so, and maybe that's a, you know, oxymoron, the nose earring, but the nose hoops. He keeps adding to his nose, and I'm so bothered by the nose. Kamara has the nose thing. Men, women, it bumps me a little more in men, but the nose, the jewelry hanging, he keeps adding on. It's the Dennis Rodman thing. It just... It's one of those things where it's like, I want to wipe it. I'm picturing him having a runny nose, or what if there's a booger on it, or what if it gets caught on something when he's, you know, performing oral on his lady friend. He has added. He's added multiple hoops onto that nose. It drives.
That's rookie.
He's going to make a great fat guy someday.
Yes, he is going to be. When he doesn't. I'm not sure if he fully understands this, but I mean, he is, you know, he's 26 and a half and running all day for a living. Wait till that shorter, stockier physique gets a few years out of the game, especially when the metabolism is used to putting in whatever you want into it and it just burns it like an army Jeep. Wait till the engine stops running at so many RPMs.
And he turns into rerun.
That's right. You're going to feed rerun.
You know what's going to ease that pain? Maybe what will ease that pain is a neckerchief. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Rerun.
They didn't feed him enough.
Rerun.
They lost by three.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't – that goes back to that defensive back thing you were talking about too. The constant sort of celebrating and glorifying these minor moments in a game. Not saying a touchdown is a minor moment, but – still, I mean, you know, I've seen him do a 7-yard run and then jump up and go, feed me. And you go, dude, 7 yards.
I completely agree, which is if the wide receiver, in fact, drops the pass, you're not allowed to celebrate as the DB. That's number one.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to do that. If the kicker misses a chip shot, you're not allowed to do the big, you know, no good move. And
the airplane move around the field as you celebrate.
If you ran the ball, didn't score, and it's for under 12 yards, you're not allowed to do the big jump up and feed me thing. And I want to correct all my NFLers. Recent picture, multi hoops on the schnoz there, Max Pata. Everyone is doing the weird biker move now where they sit and they go rum, rum, rum with the throttle and the big ape hanger handlebars. Listen, fellas, a motorcycle does not have a throttle on the right and left grip. It's just the right grip. You can't do both hands throttling. That doesn't work that way. There's one hand. It's like the guys who play the air saxophone. They put their thumb in their mouth and they go, and I'm like, get your thumb out of your mouth. That's not how you play the saxophone. You would hold it with both hands down around the middle of the saxophone, like Rob Lowe in St. Elmo's Fire. You don't ride a motorcycle with, there's not a throttle on both hands. It's just the one hand. It's just the right side has the throttle. The left is the clutch. Left is the clutch. Right is the brake. Left is just a grip, and the right has the throttle. You can't do the two-handed throttle.
Well, I would say this, Rob Lowe's.
There he is. He's getting multi. It's growing. By the way, once you get going with the nostril hoops, there is no finish line. It's going to keep going.
Do you go to a jewelry store for those? Do you have to try those on? Who's the poor salesperson?
Yeah.
Players.
Yeah. The best thing Rob Lowe did with his saxophone was sling it over his shoulder.
I love that.
Like a guitar.
Yes.
No one's ever done that. Let's keep
him
it
playing,
in the NFL.
Him playing at the Halloween party at St. Elmo's Fire was the gayest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was simultaneously the gayest and straightest moment in cinematic history, which was Rob Lowe playing.
Not until the movie 300 hit theaters, has there been something so simultaneously hetero and homo?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Christian McCaffrey territory here.
That's right.
This is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take it to different body styles in the NFL. Tampa Bay Bucks coach Bruce Arians is catching some heat from Brett Favre, of all people, for criticizing Tom Brady after Sunday's loss to New Orleans. Arians said both of Brady's interceptions were Brady's fault. He just came out and said it. Favre, who also, like Brady, went to a new team late in his career, thought Arians made a mistake blaming Brady, thought it could lead to tension in the locker room, said he should have blamed it on the whole team. And then he texted Arians a picture of his wiener. But I think that's old school thinking. This is the way Arians has always coached. He's got a winning record in the league. If he doesn't say something like that, which is in his character, then he's kowtowing to Tom Brady. I'm not sure that's the wisest move either. Or if Brett Favre is the delivery system for criticism at this point of any sort.
Well, first off, nobody knows more than Brady those were bad balls that he wished he could get back. I mean, the second he released the pick six, you could just see him go, oh, crap, I shouldn't have thrown that ball. So it's like nobody on the planet, I'm sure, is tougher on themselves than Tom Brady. Nobody's more aware of a bad outing than Tom Brady. And I bet you Tom Brady has, I'll bet you two of his Super Bowl wins, he's still beating himself up about playing like shit. I'll bet you if we could get Tom Brady drunk, he would then open his heart and tell you, yes, my second win and my fourth win, I'm still beating myself up for playing like shit. Like, and these are in the wins. These are just bad balls. He knows it. And I don't think he's got a problem with Bruce. I disagree with Brett Favre, on this particular one. But people forget when Brett Favre went to Minnesota, he was a breath away of either going back to the Super Bowl.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah. He just drew a bad Brett, you know, scrambling, I'm going to make this work kind of ball. And he just threw a pick, and that was the season. But he literally could have went back as a Minnesota Viking if it had not been for that ball. It's kind of an interesting thing, this sort of like, I can get away with it thing, which Joe Montana was great, but he didn't throw a lot of balls like, I know the guy's in triple coverage, but I'm going to stick this one in here. Or I'm going to throw it across the field. Like, I'm going to roll hard to my left and throw it all the way across the field to the right. And the thing about Brett Favre is Brett Favre physically could do that, but not all the time. And so it's interesting that you, in a weird way, you'd rather have Joe Montana, who couldn't do that as well as Favre. So thus he didn't try it. He went with the high percentage balls.
Well, Montana was like a pitcher with five pitches. He could lob it. He could softball it. He could get it to you a number of ways. I think guys like Favre, they have that gunslinger mentality. I'm going to throw this as fast and as hard as I can at a spoon size gap, and I think I can make it. Montana's going to go, I think if he keeps running, I can actually just lob it over three guys' heads and get it to him.
But he he wouldn't have pulled the trigger, the bad pick that Brett Favre threw to get the Vikings out of the Super Bowl, essentially. Montana would have grounded that ball or thrown it out of the end zone or wide of the marker. Right. You know, he would have thrown that ball out of bounds. He wouldn't have gone, I think I can stick it. I think I can roll hard to my right and throw back to my left and stick it in there.
Right.
Yeah, he has no tells as a poker player. That's why you go with Montana. I think we're all in agreement there. Brian, do you agree?
Yeah, I'm a Montana truther, obviously, being a 49ers fan.
Right.
He's the greatest. But his physical skills were nowhere near what Brett Favre's was. And that's, like Adam was saying, kind of Favre's curse, which is he has this fucking cannon for an arm. But he was like, I can fit this ball in there, whereas Montana would never even try it. He's like, he doesn't know. He knows he doesn't have the juice.
Imagine he had a cannon for an arm during his playing days. Imagine if he had those copper-infused socks during his days at Green Bay. That ball would go 110 yards down the field. And also,
straight through James Jones.
we saw Favre in the south of France. And it was me and Max Pata and Mike, right? We're just walking around the south of France, like Cannes. And I was like, Mike was like, hey, that's Brett Favre. And because, you know, you're in the south of France, you expect to see. And that was Brett Favre. Brett Favre's a big dude. Mm-hmm. Brett Favre, everyone's big in football and you don't think of quarterbacks as big. Oh, he's a big chunk of dude. He ain't no Christian McCaffrey. Like, he's a big, tall dude. Yeah. And that was also part of his thing. I think Montana was a little more like, hey, I got to protect myself. I don't have a cannon for an arm. I'm going to play it a little more conservatively. And thus, you don't get those, you don't have all those picks.
Yeah.
All right, let's bring it home, Jeff.
You got it. We're doing, shall we do our, you know what we have to do here?
Hmm.
We have to do our picks, our Bet the Farm picks.
All right. Oh.
We got to do that for betonline.ag. This week's games. This is where, of course, we each bet our home team's game, but you can take either side.
Mm-hmm.
Brian won last week by taking the Cardinals. Everybody else took their actual team. Brian, this week, 49ers at the Jets, giving 7. They're favored by 7.
Niners are favored by 7 last week, and it didn't work out. The Jets are not a good team. However, Jets are at home. Niners doing the dreaded West Coast team goes to play cross country for a 10 a.m. game their time. I think the Niners win, but I do not think it's by 7 points. I'm taking the Jets and the points. I'd also like to parlay this, Jeff, with the under, because there's no George Kittle. There's no Debo Samuel. This is going to be a low-scoring game in my estimation.
You can do that. There is absolutely no prize for it. Gina, Chiefs are at the Chargers. They're right here in Los Angeles at SoFi. I believe the Chargers are at SoFi. They're no longer playing in the soccer stadium, correct? They're allowed to use SoFi. The Chiefs are giving 8.5 points. They're favored by 8.5 points over the Chargers right here in Los Angeles, the Chargers' home field.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't know anything about sports, but I know during a pandemic, there's no home field advantage, especially on a field they've never played on. So you got to stick with the Chiefies, right?
Yeah. Go for it.
8.5, you know, it's over a touchdown. But yeah, the Chiefs are, you know, when it's 35-24, then you'll be happy you took the Chiefs. All right, Rams are playing Philadelphia at Philadelphia.
Rams are playing Philadelphia. They're currently giving 1 at Philadelphia, so it's just almost a push.
Well, you know,
giving 1 at Philly, who played poorly but led most of the game last week against Washington.
Yeah, I think, was it Carson Wentz? Is Carson Wentz their quarterback?
Eagles quarterback.
Yeah, he got sacked like 5 times. He's a good internalizer, like after the games, like, I played like crap, I got to play better, you know, this week. He's a competitor. I do worry sometimes. I don't know why, but I oftentimes root for the team my team is playing to have won the week before, because I feel like they come out with a little sense of urgency when they lose, and Carson Wentz is like going to prove to everyone he's going to have a good game to offset his last game. That being said,
Miles Sanders coming back too for the Eagles this week. He did not play last week. He's their starting running back.
That being said, it's a one-point game, which is basically pick 'em. He was sacked 8 times on Sunday, Carson Wentz. So, you know, the Rams are definitely looking at that game film and licking their chops. Right. Aaron Donald. I'd say Rams won, Philly lost. My dad's from Philly, so I hate Philly. And it's a one-point game with no real hometown advantage, and for that, I'll go with my Rams.
There you go. I will take the Packers giving 6 to the Lions at Lambeau Field. Talk about no home field advantage. That is one place where I really think there is a true home field advantage, the Lambeau leap, the whole thing. But even without it, I think the Pack wins by 10. So I'm going Packers.
All right. Let me finish up with Bet Online football. Well, we're talking about it. It's here, people. Falcons, Cowboys. I kind of like that guy. I like the Cowboys in that particular game. And Patriots, Seahawks, the Seahawks look damn good. The Patriots look pretty good, but Seahawks, man, I like them in that one too. Forementioned Rams, Eagles, a lot of options to wager and place that bet online, from spreads and totals to props. You get in on the season opening bonuses and wager on wins and division championship futures. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget, promo code Podcast One. You get your free sign-up bonus. Do it today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
All balls, all sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
We're going to be in Tempe tomorrow doing live pods over there at the Improv. And
tonight
then,
tonight.
Sorry. Tomorrow and tonight doing live pod there for the early show. John Holmberg will be there. Very funny. And Rob Schneider, very funny, will be up on for the live pod. And then I'll be doing stand-up after that. Probably a few tickets left, so you can check that out. Come say hi. See how the fudge is packed, as I like to say. Salt Lake City, coming up, Wise Guys, October 2nd and 3rd as well. Same deal, live pods there and some stand-up as well. So go to adamcarolla.com and find out all that stuff. I want to thank Kevin Harrington and Mark Tim for zooming in their book, Mentor to Millions. It'll be out on Tuesday, but go ahead and pre-order that. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Jeff and Brian and Gina and Kevin and Mark saying, mahala.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. If you'd like to leave us a voice net mail, the number is 888-634-1744, and pick up Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, audiobook available too, all at adamcarolla.com.